next on AM 1480 WLEA, the Newsmaker Show. Here's Ryan O'Neill.
Will you never guess who's here, everybody?
I'm not going to tell.
How you doing, Dr. Robert Heineman, Auburn University Professor Emeritus?
Good to see you this morning, Brian.
All right, I want to start out with this one.
All right.
From the Washington Post. Quote, it was leaked to the Washington Post on Tuesday night that when Donald Trump congratulated Vladimir Putin for his re-election as president of Russia, he was holding briefing materials that had the words, "Do not congratulate," written in all caps on it. Ha, ha, ha. Then it was immediately leaked to reporters that Trump was very angry about the leak. Dr. Bob.
Well, the ha, 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 yeah, you just threw that in there, right?
No, that was written in the Washington Post.
So that was part of the message on the file?
I think it's the reporters editorializing.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that's really quite serious. All this running around with good-looking blondes and things of that sort, that's, I guess, interesting to some people. But that's all pretty frivolous stuff. But this this is serious. And I think what we have here is an example of two different mindsets at work. And one, of course, is the mindset of the intelligence community, which is going head-to-head with the Russian intelligence community. And they, I would guess, probably don't like each other very much at all. So what Trump got was, I assume, from the intelligence and security people advising him not to congratulate Putin. But on the other hand, from Trump's point of view and a mindset dealing with politics and personal interaction one sort or another, it frankly didn't mean much to Trump at all to call him and basically congratulating him. It was kind of a pro forma thing. And the fact is we're doing a lot of things with the Russians, and we have a lot of projects and things, and occasionally here and there we can help each other out. So
Bill Bennett was on Fox on Wednesday night, and he commented on that.
Yes.
He said, you know, it's just slightly possible, and he was referring to NBC. He said, it's just slightly possible that President Trump might need the help of Vladimir Putin now on a thing or two more than he needs the help of Chuck Todd.
Yeah, well, there's no question, I think, that from Trump's point of view and from the point of view of a guy who has done business for years and years and years, for example, people criticized him for going to the wedding of the Clinton, Chelsea's wedding. I think that was it, or it was some other event, the Clintons. And Trump said, hey, I'm a businessman. It's, you know, part of my, not that he had any use for the Clintons one way or another. I'm not certain. But the point is, in terms of interacting with people and such, that's what politicians do. And by just turning your back on people and refusing to speak to them, and, for example, looking at, again, go back to John Foster Dulles there and refusing to shake hands with Chou En-lai, I mean, that was just stupid. And it's just not, I just don't understand it. I remember, and again, I don't want to get too personal here, but when I was in the county legislature, I would vote here this way or that way, and some of the agency people in the halls, you know, they just walk by you. They wouldn't talk to you. That was their way of, I mean, do I care? I mean, what's that going to do? Well, it doesn't help anything at all. So I think you have two different mindsets there, and I think Trump, by congratulating Putin, did the appropriate thing.
On the leaks, how inappropriate
now that's
is that?
No, I'm sorry. I was going to come back to that. That's bad. Where that leaked from, who knows? But it's quite possible that a staff person along the line, a secretary or someone else, an assistant along the line, had seen it and leaked it out to the press. And that sort of thing should be punished. So I don't know who did it or how it was done, but that's serious.
Did you see that Trump's top attorney, John Dowd, has resigned?
Yes, I don't know what that means, frankly, one way or another. That he's the top attorney with regard to the Mueller investigation.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I have no idea. Trump may just be changing legal resources, or there may be some principal reason the guy resigned. I don't know.
Trump says he would like to testify for Mueller.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I don't know what that means, and it may well be, well, I don't know. It's, again, the whole thing.
Is that smart on Trump's part?
I don't know, Brian, because we have no idea what's going on in the background in these things. So
now, is this stuff, the Stormy Daniels affair, is this something that happened before his White House years?
Yeah, yeah, it is. That's, I think, pretty clear. But the question is, did it happen before or after his marriage? That raises, I think, some moral questions. So I don't know where some of these other people come in. It really is quite amazing. You get these models getting their pictures in the paper or on the web, whatever, for basically selling themselves to a person. And, again, I'm not quite certain why the press has given them all this publicity. I guess you can suggest immorality or something of that sort, but when you're dealing with the circles of Trump and the Clintons and the Kennedys and all these people move in, I'm not certain that's particularly relevant. The question is, as you say, before he was president, and I don't think any of these things happened after he was president. There may have been some model or somebody involved there. I'm not sure. The question is, what's the legal situation here? And I was watching the other day, someone was saying, well, maybe there's perjury here. Well, I think Trump has denied having affairs with many of these people. And it does appear in that respect, his denial has about the same quality as President Clinton's denial with Monica Lewinsky. So there he may have been lying. But has he perjured himself? I don't see, unless somewhere along the line he's testified under oath, nothing there. The problem with all this is that it just distracts from some serious things going on in the world. And
now,
I think most people would get back to it. Again, not to interrupt you there, Brian, but
no.
He and Biden, Joe Biden, going back and forth about who could beat each other up on the playground. Now, here we are, concerned about school violence and bullying and all this sort of thing, and these guys are attacking each other back and forth. It's just stupid. It's playground garbage is what it is. That's what our politics has degenerated to, Brian. Playground garbage. Yes.
To raise the level.
Well, we would like to, yes.
Hey, on this boyfriend-girlfriend stuff, if I could talk one more point on that.
Sure.
Have felt for a long time that when it comes out about whatever politician, whatever political party, that so-and-so, President so-and-so, or Senator so-and-so has a girlfriend, a mistress, whatever.
Right.
That it's blackmail.
It's
blackmail. It's because this president or senator went too far for somebody, that somebody in the know or in the loop got ticked off because President so-and-so or Senator so-and-so or Governor so-and-so went in a direction that they were told not to, and this is the payback. What do you think?
Well, I think it's more than that. There's some of that, I think. But I think if these people hadn't become important, elected officials, appointed officials of one sort or another, the event that is brought to the fore would be basically ignored. So that public officials are just vulnerable right now to any kind of charge. How truthful it is a whole matter of controversy needs to be investigated. For example, I was reading the other day I'm thinking of one of the Silicon Valley firms. This woman was claiming that they'd been treated inappropriately because someone had referred to her as doll. Come on. You know, now, you may not like that. I can understand that, but to argue that that should cost you your job or your reputation, I mean, that's just... but you can push it as far as you want.
Yeah, I used to, in the 1990s, I almost feel like I fell for it. I remember being all outraged at Bill Clinton, and then later on I got thinking, what the hell would you get mad about that for?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
You have to take them case by case, of course,
right.
But I think that the blackmail rule, at least to me, it stands. I mean, I think these people have aggravated someone. And, you know, whoever it is trying to make life miserable for
someone.
Well,
and it's more than just someone trying to get a personal payback. In a lot of cases, anything you can do to discredit the opposition gives you a political advantage on the other side. So it all gets pretty can get pretty confused, and it can get obviously very nasty. And we've had one or two people kill themselves as a result of all this.
Nasty stuff. Talking to Dr. Robert Hyman, Alfred University Professor Emeritus. If we can move on to a state issue for a moment. There is a Justice Sotomayor issue that I'd like to get to. But before we do that, got an email from Cynthia Nixon's office. Candidate on the Democrat side who's trying to run against Governor Andrew Cuomo. Says Cynthia Nixon received more small dollar donations in one day than Cuomo has in 7 years. And it goes on to say, Governor Andrew Cuomo has built a $31 million war chest from wealthy corporate interest lobbyists and billionaires, said Cynthia for New York manager Nicole Arrow. And with just 0.1% of his support coming from small donations from everyday New Yorkers, that tells you exactly the chance that Cuomo will care about your concerns. 0.1%. Is Cynthia Nixon tapping into something?
Yeah, no, I think she is. Again, I don't know, you know, how far she's going to go. I've got a little more information on her. Apparently, she's married to some woman out in New York City, and they have three children in there. I don't know, you know, where the children, whether they're hers or her spouses or whether they're adopted, I don't know, you know, so more and more has come. But she's certainly an activist, and you have this woman, Quinn, who is former, I don't know if she's still head of the New York City Council.
They got into it earlier this week.
She wasn't, Cynthia Nixon isn't a real bona fide lesbian. Well, I mean, I don't know what kind of issue that is to run on. Maybe in New York City, maybe not. I think Cuomo is worried about Nixon. He's doing a lot of things now that his advisors and observers feel that he wouldn't be doing otherwise. And it's a sort of populist thing that's sweeping the country. And in New York City, it's a different kind of grassroots populist effort, but it's still there. And people have had enough. Oh, the guy sticks his head out the window and says, what did he say? I'm something
mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore.
Right, exactly. And that's what we're dealing with. And she's definitely feeding into that. And we'll see if she gets on the ballot. There may be a real effort to try to keep her off the ballot, but I would guess she's probably got some legal talent there to help her.
Governor Andrew Cuomo has opposition from Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro, Syracuse Republican State Senator John DeFrancisco, and Libertarian Larry Sharp. And that's on top of Democrat Cynthia Nixon. Out of all those people, Larry Sharp, Mark Molinaro, John DeFrancisco, and Cynthia Nixon, who's the biggest threat to the governor?
Well, I think Nixon is a threat.
Yep.
Oh, you think so, huh? Yeah. I'm wondering where the Working Families Party is on all this. That's what I'm... I don't think Cynthia Nixon can win the primary, and she's certainly not going to beat Cuomo on the Working Families line, but she certainly can hurt him on the Working Families line, that's for sure.
Going to take a quick break, then we'll be back with Dr. Bob.
When you need a new appliance, think Brand Name Appliance in Wellsville. Locally owned and operated, they carry the largest selection of in-stock name brand appliances in the area. Maytag, Frigidaire, GE, and Whirlpool are just a few of the trusted brands. Offering free delivery, setup, and removal of your old appliance to make the whole process easy for you. They also carry Traeger and Weber grills and electronics. Brand Name Appliance, Main Street, Wellsville, or visit them at brandnameappliance.net.
If you're dreaming of something greater, a college degree, job skills, or technical training, serving part-time in the Army National Guard can help make your dreams a reality. Right now, the Army National Guard is offering up to a $20,000 enlistment bonus or a $350 per month educational stipend to qualified candidates as well as those with prior military service. Already received your education or are currently in school? You may be eligible for up to $50,000 in student loan repayment. These benefits can help you get the education you need to land the civilian career you want. Plus, as a proud member of the Guard, you'll experience the personal fulfillment of serving your community during emergencies and natural disasters. To learn more about the many benefits that come with part-time service in the Army National Guard, visit NationalGuard.com today. Sponsored by the New York State National Guard, aired by the New York State Broadcasters Association and this station.
Saying good morning now to the president of the John Bolton Fan Club, meteorologist Rob Carolyn.
Yep, pilot to bombardier, we're over the target.
That's what Kevin used to call Bolton, Bomber Bolton. What do you make of Bolton getting the McMaster's job?
He has the tendency to, have a quick trigger finger, which is, disconcerting. But in regards to the Russians, I think, you certainly have to look at them as, I took Russian in high school and had a teacher who used to say, he had the following saying, once KGB, always KGB. And Vladimir Putin is a former KGB agent, and that needs to be kept in the back of one's mind when dealing with him.
What do you got in the front of your mind for the forecast?
What I have in front of me for the forecast, a little bit of sunshine to start things off, Brian. We've got some sun out there, but along with that, there's some clouds. It's rather cold aloft. That's going to allow some clouds to develop and maybe even a few flurries or snow showers as the day goes on. We remain cold with 35. Sun came up this morning, 7:07. It's going to set at 7:26 this evening. Tonight, we're partly to mostly cloudy, chilly overnight, 20, clouds, some breaks of sun, and remaining cold tomorrow, just like Siberia, 35. The outlook for Sunday, sunny, cold, 35 to 40, but we do have milder temperatures headed our way for the early part of next week, Brian.
All right, say goodbye in Russian, Rob.
Ochen khorosho, gospodin.
We're back with Dr. Bob.
Yes, we are. Yes.
Dr. Bob, here's my question. What is going on with Justice Sotomayor and Kennedy?
Yes, apparently during oral argument, Sotomayor, in her questioning of the attorneys, mentioned that she found something on the web regarding the case. And Kennedy jumped right on her, and with good reason. And that is, he said, when these cases come to us, we decide these cases based on the record as it's presented to us. The record from the lower court, the briefs from the two sides, maybe some amicus curiae briefs, and that's what we are making our decision on. To go out and start surfing the web and picking up additional information just totally destroys the integrity of the judicial process and appeal process before the court, because there's no basis. I mean, you don't know where this stuff is coming from on the web. We've seen that again and again and again. And, he's had every right. Now, you can't stop Sotomayor from surfing the web. I mean, but the point is to bring that into the case and base part of our decision on that, that's asking for serious trouble, and I think Kennedy was right. Apparently, when he first got on the court, Chief Justice Roberts mentioned something about picking up some information somewhere else, too, and I think he got reprimanded, not publicly, but yeah, you just can't do that. Years ago, many years ago, when Justice Brandeis was on the court, famous liberal, he would cite law review articles. And it turned out later that he was paying Felix Frankfurter to write the articles. And then he would turn around and cite him in court cases. I mean, that, to put it mildly, is, I think, over the line. You have to be, and the thing about it, again, about a law review article, you expect it to be somewhat more scholarly, whatever, but there's nobody on the other side answering it. And in the adversary process, you have to have an opportunity to rebut what the other side is saying. And when you start pulling up stuff out of the air, it just leaves the other side defenseless. And there have been some really stupid decisions made by the court over the years as a result of that sort of approach. So I think Kennedy is on the money there, and I hope Justice Sotomayor a little more circumspect than in that regard. Now, we also could mention something about Facebook and Mr.
Zuckerberg. Go ahead, Zuck.
Yeah, well, Zuckerberg, I think, is the guy.
Zuck.
No.
Okay, Mark Zuckerberg is bending over backwards apologizing because a data mining company gave some information to the Republicans. The Republicans and the conservatives have been screaming that Obama officials bragged about how Zuckerberg gave them a lot of information and didn't do that for the Republicans. What do you make of all this?
Well, I don't know who's true and who's not true, but it seems pretty clear. First of all, I believe in our last program, and I believe that was on Monday, wasn't it?
We
discussed Zuckerberg and how dangerous he was
right.
with Facebook and all that information he has. Now you can see this stuff is beginning to dribble out into the political sphere, and this Cambridge Analytica in England apparently got hold of a lot of data from somebody in Facebook and put that together into information for, I guess, for Trump in this case. Whether they gave some of it to Obama or not, I don't know. And how useful it was, I don't know either. But the point is, this stuff is floating around out there, and to put it mildly, I don't think it's very secure. And I think Zuckerberg is going to have to scramble on this a little bit.
He said, regulate me. That was a big headline online.
Yeah, well, that would be hard to do.
We've been talking with Dr. Bob. We're so glad you stopped by, Doc.
Well, as always, your penetrating questions have put me on my heels. Yes.
And remember, Doc, as they used to say to us in grade school, empty wagons always rattle.
Huh. Never thought of that. They told you that in grade school, huh?
Yeah, were they talking to me?